Our reading today comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. By chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." The teacher of the law, looking for a loophole in love, asked, "Then how do you define neighbor?" The teacher of the law, looking for a them and an us, because we live in a world that divides. Live in a world trying to solve all problems with either or. Agree or stand against. Accept or hate. Citizen or illegal. Woke or racist. Ally or enemy. And then there's Jesus, replacing or with and. The work of love is yes and. Do we feed the hungry? Yes, and we remove barriers causing hunger. Do we shelter the homeless? Yes, and we fight injustice resulting in homelessness. We give diapers, and we advocate for mothers' access to health care. We provide rent support, and we push for laws protecting tenants. We tutor students, and we fight against over-policing of Black and brown students. We feed, clothe, house, educate, and we build relationships, bring into community, connect opportunities for wholeness and flourishing. If there are sides to take, we need them all.
Wow. I just want to sit with what was in that video, because I think when I hear those stories of what our church is doing, and then I think about this series that we're in on what it's like to have faith in the real world, what it's like to claim our prophetic voice, I just think these are practical ways to do that. So in just a couple of minutes, we're going to hear from some friends who are doing some really good practical things, but you know I got to get like a mini sermon in here somehow, okay? So I do want to spend just a few moments with you all looking at this scripture that we heard read, because this story of the Good Samaritan, my guess is that this is one of those stories we've all heard. We may have heard this about 500 times at church if we've been in church for any length of time. But I think this is a really important story to anchor our conversation today. Because in the story of the Good Samaritan, you may have noticed there are 2 distinct questions that are asked. What do I do to have eternal life? And who is my neighbor? Now, the funny thing is, I think we actually ask a version of these questions ourselves, but they're framed just a little bit differently. I think if we were talking to Jesus today, we might say, "How do I follow you, Jesus, in a world that looks like the world that we live in a world that feels broken, like we wrote on our post-it notes, in a world where we hear this narrative about what it means to be a Christian, and for so many of us, it doesn't quite fit. So Jesus, how do I follow you in that kind of world? But then I think the second question we might ask is, Jesus, where do I put my focus? Because as you can see on our boards and our floors by this point, there are a million things that can break our hearts. There are so many things that demand our attention. There are so many causes that we can give money and time and attention to. And the hard thing is they all kind of matter. They're all important. But we're also all one person. And so, Jesus, where do I put my focus in a world like this? The Good Samaritan parable, it holds so many different lessons in it. And don't worry, I'm not going to unpack all of them today. But I think one of the lessons that's helpful for the conversation that we're about to have with Shelley, Stephen, and Anne is that the Good Samaritan draws us into this place to live in sort of this both and space, to see the immediate needs in front of us and to feel the heartbreak of those needs, and to also look at the longer term ways to care for people, to fix systems, to do that long range work that is not so easy to do. When I look at this story, the immediate need becomes pretty clear to me. I mean, there's a man, and he has been attacked by robbers. He's bleeding, he's broken, he's hurting on the side of the road, and so he needs someone to come to him right that instant and stop those injuries from happening. If someone doesn't get to him quickly, we know his story isn't going to end in a good way. He's probably going to die right there on that roadside. And so we're grateful that the Samaritan decides that he's going to be the one to stop. He's going to be the one to help that man. But I want us to think about what would have happened if that's all the Samaritan had done. If he had bandaged those wounds, if he had cleaned them up, and then he had said, "Good luck getting home, buddy." He probably wouldn't have gotten home. He probably wouldn't have made it. And so what we see the Samaritan do in this story is say, "I see your immediate pain. I see the immediate need. But I also see what needs to happen so that you can have a thriving future." And so he goes to this innkeeper, and you heard it in the text. He says, "Here's the money for his stay, but also if there's more, I'm going to take care of that too." He does the work to create conditions for healing and wholeness. And friends, it's not quick work. It's not cheap work. It's not easy work. But it's work that is so critical to what it looks like to have a healthy, healed world. And so as you saw in that video, at St. Luke's, we do believe that following Jesus means living in that and space, that space where we see what's going on and then we see what's going on around the thing that's happening. And so today what I want to do is I want to hear from Shelley, Stephen, and Anne about some concrete ways that St. Luke's is living into this and space and the ways that we're making a difference in our community and how we all, because we all have a part to play, how we can do this work. And so, Shelley, I'm going to start with you this morning. Hi, Shelley. Good to see you. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
If you don't know Shelley, she's our Director of Outreach and Justice, and she really helps mobilize people across our different campuses to engage in God's good work. Specifically at Midtown, that mission gets lived out through our Outreach and Justice team that's led by Margaret Gordon, that has amazing volunteers on it. And so we're just grateful, Shelley, that you can be here and you can share a little bit about what we can do, what St. Luke's is doing too.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Mindy, for having us here this morning. And thank you for mentioning Margaret Gordon. She is the volunteer leader of our Outreach and Justice Ministries here at Midtown. And she's got a couple team members that also work with her, Jennifer Thompson and
Jody.
See, Jody Fields. Yep. Thank you. As soon as I name names, I get in trouble. I don't know. I see Jennifer or Jody, Margaret. Are you guys here? You want to give a wave? Jennifer, she's acting shy. She is not shy. And I also have to stop for a minute and thank the worship team. Mm-hmm. The selection of songs and the words that we sang as we got to this point in the service really hit me. And what I'm really, really grateful for about St. Luke's, and what I hope you guys know and realize, is we are a church that talks about the hard things. Mm-hmm. You don't come here on Sunday and hear something that's different and disconnected from the world you live Monday through Saturday. We talk about things from the front that may even be things that in this room we don't all agree on. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. There's room for that. Mm-hmm. I think in a world where the headlines are big and scary and it seems like there's division all around us, what we need as people of God is to get above that. Our faith in the real world, compels us to live our faith in the real world, which means figuring out how is God leading you and how can you get involved. It's going to look different for each of us, and that's okay, because it's going to take all of us. Another thing that I hope you know about St. Luke's is we are part of a church that is really making an impact. We take really seriously our role as a member of the community around us. And so I can't get up here without sharing just a little bit of celebration of the kinds of things. And this is like a smattering of things that we do. But we literally, as part of St. Luke's, impact thousands of people right around us. And I'm not exaggerating that number. In our Luke's Leaders and Freedom School programs, we have over 150 community families involved. We serve almost 200 families every single month through our diaper pantry. We served this past year more than 300 families through Angel Tree. And you guys were a part of that also. You're a part of all of these things. We served 1,000 meals through our Thanksgiving outreach and our Crooked Creek food pantry that we helped start and are a large part of supporting is on track with a 20% increase from last year of families that they served. They will serve 12,000 unique families this year. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Right here at Midtown, you guys have been supporting Dove House and the MLK Center in really meaningful ways through donations of food and summer camp supplies and your hands and feet and hard effort at cleaning and organizing projects. And I know that those partners right here in this community really, really depend on what they receive, the support they receive from us at St. Luke's. So I want to thank you guys for being part of all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, that is a lot to celebrate, a lot that we can look back on the past year. I'm sure many of you here were part of serving in those places or supporting those places. And I think that leads us to sort of the second part of that question, which is we can see the immediate needs that are happening through those organizations, and what are we doing to impact systemic change?
Thank you for that question.
Anytime, Shelley.
This past year, we have started really dreaming big dreams, imagining the kind of community that we would like to live in. Mm-hmm. And that song that we sang, the very first song that we sang, do we act like we really believe that there's nothing that our God can't do? If we really believe there's nothing our God can't do in this very world, in this very day, when it's really hard to find positive news and hope, Do we believe there's nothing our God can't do? And that has led us to lots of conversations from our volunteer leaders to our governing board to the Indiana Conference for the United Methodist Church, other faith institutions and community partners right here in our area, and the neighbors who live in our community. And through this process, I've had a lot of feedback. I've heard a lot of things. But over and over, in different words and ways, what I keep hearing is we want to live in a community that is connected, that takes care of each other. We want a community where people, the people with power and influence, use it to lift others up. We want the kind of community where people who work hard can earn enough to live on. Mm-hmm. And this is not the reality for a lot of people right around us. And when I'm talking about community, you may hear any of us refer to Washington Township. I want to be clear, we're not talking about Washington Township, the school district specifically, but we're talking about this area and the north side of Indianapolis where both of our St. Luke's campuses are located. In this community, we want to be connected enough to understand how each other lives and how we can learn from each other.
I think those are some really beautiful visions of what our community can look like. And I'm curious what it would take to be able to create that kind of community, because those are big goals, and it feels very different than the reality that we're actually living right now.
And that's true. They are big goals. And yet, I go back to there's nothing our God can't do, and he has put us as St. Luke's, This big, old, predominantly historically white church right in the middle of this community. And he's done it for this time and this place for us to make the kind of impact. And it will take a yes and approach from all of us. We need those of us who believe it's our role to take care of our neighbors. And we need those of us who believe that our civic leaders and laws have a responsibility in that too. We need you if you want to meet the immediate basic needs. We need people volunteering at our food pantry and our diaper pantry. And we need you if you want to work on changing systems that lead to that need. Not either or, but both and. There's enough work for everyone, and none of us gets to opt out. If there are sides to take, we need them all. So, I brought two of my partners in ministry here with me today to share some of the vision of what we have been working on for the past year. This is kind of the culmination of a lot of conversations and planning and designing and dreaming that will take a yes and kind of support from us as our St. Luke's community. First, you're going to hear from Stephen about Thriving Families Initiative. This is kind of a social experiment. We have a theory, and it's actually proven by data that's been done by people way smarter than us. Who say that the way to lift everyone up is to rebuild the social fabric of our community, that we've become so disconnected that we don't even know what each other's lived experience is, but that through connection and relationships with each other, that provides the opportunity for people to become upwardly economically mobile and give to their children the kind of future that they're hoping that's better than their own. And next, Anne is going to talk to us about Streets to Home Indy, which I mentioned a little bit earlier. This is something that I've been working on for the last year. We are part of something. We have the opportunity, and St. Luke's has been a leader in getting us to this point. Something that has never before happened in our city. And that is, we have all sectors of community working together. Mm-hmm. We have the city leadership. We have the business community. We have the philanthropic community. And as part of that, we have the faith community, who are all committed to working together to do what it would take to end chronic homelessness in Indianapolis for good. This is a really big dream. Mm-hmm. And when we started a year ago, we were asking that question, what would it take? Who needs to be in the room? What conversations do we need to have and with whom? And we have gotten to this point where Streets to Home Indy is in its pilot launch phase. And Anne's going to talk a little bit more about that. And you're going to hear about how to be part of both of these opportunities in this coming up year.
Great. All right, so Stephen, we will start with you. Would you just tell our Midtown friends who you are, what's your connection to St. Luke's, and how you got connected to the Thriving Families Initiative?
Yeah, glad to share that. So my name is Stephen Ragsdale, and my wife Christy and my son Noah have been a part of St. Luke's for about 3 years. We knew at some point we were going to move to Indianapolis from Anderson, which is my hometown. And when we knew we were coming to Indy, we knew we wanted to be part of St. Luke's. So even before we bought a house, we were already coming to St. Luke's. And luckily, our son was napped in the car at the time because he was about one. So we've been a part of St. Luke's for about 3 years. And about 2 years ago, found out from Shelley about this thing that has become Thriving Families Initiative. And as soon as we heard about it, we got a little paper. I read it through to Christy, and she was like, oh, we got to do this. We got to be a part of this because it's exactly what we wanted to be a part of. We came to St. Luke's for the very reason this series exists, to have real conversations about the real world and what it means to be a follower of Jesus in that world. And Thriving Families Initiative is a big part of that.
Yeah. Can you give us sort of maybe like the elevator pitch for what exactly Thriving Families does?
Yes. So Thriving Families, the biggest thing is it's not a program. It's a actual social network, not a digital social network, but a real life one, where people that have differences, some real, some perceived, connect and rebuild those connections. So that means living out the true meaning of a neighbor relationship. We learn from each other, we support each other, we create the kind of connections that allow all of our children and families to flourish. And this happens through regular gatherings, shared learning, and then organic moments that build networks, both small and large.
Why did you decide to get involved with Thriving Families?
Because this is what we wanted to be a part of. We wanted to be a part of a network and a community that wasn't homogenous, we were all the same, and that's why we gather together. It's because we care about the same things. Maybe we care about things for different reasons, but we care about a lot of the same things. We want better things for our families. We want our kids to do well and succeed. We want relationships that take care of each other. We want better jobs. We want better housing situations for our families. And so if there's a way to be a part of that, that's what we wanted to be a part of.
Yeah. So. Would you tell us a little bit about the impact that Thriving Families is hoping to see over the next 5 years?
Yeah. So I think some of us know, and many of us know, that this area, Washington Township more broadly, again, bigger than the school system, is very different. There, within Washington Township, there can be very different realities of what life is like. Depending on your zip code, life expectancy can differ by as much as 14 years. That's the same, different zip code, but same area. Your life is different. That's the difference between a child growing up with decades more of opportunity or not. And then we live near each other. We live close together, but we just don't even know each other's lives and what it's really like. And the research is real that if you have connections with people outside of your own social class, you have better outcomes. you have a better life. You and your kids can be changed for generations. And so Thriving Families Initiative is based on that kind of research and evidence, and now we're going to try it and see how that goes and evolve it.
Would you tell us a little bit about the launch and how we can be involved with that?
Yeah, so, and I do want to be more specific about what happens in Thriving Families Initiative, because I've still been pretty vague, I think. But, like, there's a little handout that you'll have in your bulletin if you want to pull that out. I'll refer to that because it's a helpful visual. Thank you, Shelley, for that. Three things. So Thriving Families Initiative is based on people getting together around a shared mindset. We want things better for us, for our families, for our kids, for our community. Targeted, specialized help for certain things that is just helpful to supplement those normal relationships, a mission coach in this case, or tutoring, or what have you. And then gatherings, where we get together, you rub shoulders, you have conversations, you learn, and then networks get closer. And so what's going to be happening are these things called meetups. And meetups are gatherings. We're thinking like monthly type gatherings where you come together for learning, reflection, conversation, and to actually create relationships with people that desire a lot of the same things. And then out of that, hopefully, both one-on-one networks happen, smaller group networks happen, larger group networks happen. And so there's going to be some opportunities coming up starting in September to see what those are like firsthand, to be a part, to bring yourself and your own desires. It's, you know, this isn't something we're just doing for other people. It's also for us. We all want the same things. And so there'll be opportunities, a come and see event in September where you can see what this is like and if that's something you want to be a part of.
Awesome. And after the service, are you going to stick around?
Yes.
Can you stick around? Okay, cool. After the service, if you want to learn more about how you can be involved in Thriving Families, find Stephen in the gathering area, and he would love to talk to you, have a conversation about that and next steps. I'm going to move to Anne so that we can hear about what you're working on. Anne, you're a familiar face at Midtown, but will you tell people a little bit about yourself, your role here, and then maybe how you got involved with Streets to Home?
Absolutely. As Mindy said, St. Luke's Midtown has been my church home for almost 2 years now. I moved to the area from the suburbs to be in a place that looked a lot different than where I had been before. And part of that was exactly what Stephen and Shelley and Mindy have been talking about, just a desire to be with people, to use the things I have to help others, to glean from others things that I need in my life. So I got involved, awareness of Streets to Home, as I got involved with Indie Action Coalition. Stephen is the visual for that. I missed the dress code this morning. but Indie Action Coalition has just been a place for me, Mindy, back to what you said earlier, to bring focus to what can I be involved in? What can I do to make a difference when I feel like there's so much that needs to be done? So Streets to Home is a piece of that.
Yeah. Can you tell us just a little bit more about it and then maybe why it's a great answer to a lot of these problems that we're all very aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. So Streets to Home is a multi-city, evidence-based initiative that works in the community to be more than a hand out, but rather a hand up to really end chronic homelessness. Oftentimes the narrative is that homelessness is a result of addiction, poverty, mental health, and the research tells us that is just not true. The reason for chronic homelessness is access to housing. And Indianapolis's percentage is in the danger zone of what that looks like. We don't have affordable housing for people. So Streets to Home works, as Shelley's already said, we have an advantage here in our community because unlike many other cities, we're starting this initiative with more monetary resources, thanks in part to Indie Action Coalition's pressure on our city to put it in the budget. as well as a gathering of all these faith groups and other organizations to say, no, we're going to do something about this. We're going to use a program, a proven program to do that. Ending chronic homelessness is actually less expensive than our current situation of homelessness. The reports are right now we have 350 people in the Indianapolis city who are unhoused. Streets to Home, this kind of program, can actually save about $20,000 per person. Wow. Of expense to our city. That's upwards of $7 million. So when you hear we can't afford this, don't believe that. because what we're actually presenting is a way for the city to save money and to really make a difference in the lives of these unhoused people and their futures, and the futures, as Stephen said, of their children.
Mm-hmm. So I think you've named one of the barriers, and we're already over time. I know y'all are like, we got to go to lunch. I know, just like give me five more minutes, okay? So we could name the barriers all day, but what I want to end on is hope, because we're about hope here in this place. Why do you think we can pull this off?
Because of what these three people have already so eloquently shared. We have access to a God who cares. And who equips. So I believe that first and foremost, and I believe my belief in that God compels me to be active in my community and make a difference. And I think that is shared with hundreds of people outside of St. Luke's and within St. Luke's. I also believe this kind of radical opportunity that we have right now that Shelley talked about, where all of these different facets of our community are actually joining together. Is powerful and can really make a difference. So I think we have the opportunity to end it in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Shelley, as we close, why don't you share with us again the concrete things we can do?
Yes, I'm happy to do that. And again, thanks to all of you guys for what you had to share and for the hard work that you've been doing personally and individually. With regards to Thriving Families Initiative, there is in the fall guide, I think has my email address in it, and we will be having in the bulletin and announcements in the next week or two information if you want to come and see more of what Thriving Families Initiative looks like. And with regards to Streets to Home, if I'm guessing this has raised a lot of questions in a lot of people's minds and potentially even some skepticism because it sounds almost too good to be true. This Thursday at North Indy, we are screening the film called Beyond the Bridge. And it is a film that documentary that has been done from cities across the country who have already put these programs into, put them into work and are working. So that is the best way. We also have the filmmakers who will be on hand to answer questions after the film. Great way to learn more about what Streets to Home Indy is. And then the specific ask about the offering. We are part of, across the city, special donations, special fundraising for this program's first year of operations. And so if you didn't, because I didn't tell you how in the first time we did offering, you have another chance. And your handout is a QR code if you want to give online. I do think the ushers will be in back if you want to drop a 20 in the plate. Everything that we can give together, it takes all of us together, and it all makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. You can keep that. Okay. Can we thank our guests today? I'm going to invite our band to come up. We're going to sing one more song together before we head out. And as they come up, I'm just going to say a word of prayer over the work that's being done, over what God is inviting us into. God, I'm so thankful for Shelley and Stephen and Anne and the ministries that they have introduced us to today. God, I know that these are some big goals. They are big dreams, and sometimes we are tempted to think that things like this aren't possible. I just pray today that you would release us from that belief and that you would empower us into action. God, that you would show us where you want us to connect and you would help open doors so that we can do your work in this world. Thank you, God, for what these people are doing. Thank you for the way that you're moving. Amen.